Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Schools are gearing up to reopen soon. In city schools, the closing months of the spring semester were punctuated by the clash between students and Baltimore police at Mondawmin Mall the day of Freddie Gray's funeral, and the surge in shootings that has followed, sparking classroom conversations about policing, crime, poverty, and justice. All that, along with reports of vacancies in top posts and teaching positions at public schools, have us thinking about what students will experience as they head back to class in coming weeks. With us to talk about how the school year is shaping up for students, teachers, and administrators is Erica Green, education reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone is Dr. Lisa Griot, Chief of Human Capital at Baltimore City Public Schools. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Erica, Gilmore Elementary in Sandtown, the school in Freddie Gray's neighborhood, lost its principal in June and just got a new one this week. Who will now lead Gilmore Elementary?
Curtis Durham will lead Gilmore Elementary. He was appointed on Tuesday. He comes from another middle school, I believe is Cross Country Elementary Middle School. I don't know much more about him other than that. But that, you know, is who is going to be leading that school.
Dr. Griot, what other key staffing changes were announced by the school board Tuesday night?
We had six principals that were named into positions, one of which was Kelvin Bridgers, who is the new principal of Frederick Douglass High School. We conducted a national search for that position and found one of our own who emerged as the top candidate and who the entire school community and the CEO and CAO has great deal of excitement about him and really feel like he was absolutely the best candidate for that position.
And of course, Frederick Douglass is the high school right close to Mondawmin Mall that was so much in the public eye at the time of the riot. Erica, overall, is the situation this year with teacher and principal vacancies just before the school opens, is this pretty typical?
It is pretty typical. it's, you know, in previous years, the number has reached around 200. Last year, with 1 week to go, there were 190. This year, with 2 weeks before at least teachers report, it was around 240 openings. I know that the school system said that it had offered, you know, 80 jobs in one day. And across the state, teacher vacancy numbers are always fluid. It's also a national trend. There have been, you know, stories in the front of the New York Times and in the Washington Post about teacher vacancies. But, you know, as far as the city goes, it is pretty typical. But every year it's still a concern that that number of vacancies are running up against such a time frame for when students are due to go back to school.
You spoke with the principal who left Gilmore School in Sandtown, Mark Bongiovanni. Briefly, what did he tell you for why he left?
He told me in June, right around his resignation time, that he basically felt, you know, not supported by the current administration. He said that he, you know, it was his first year on the job. He opened with a number of vacancies. The school had obviously been through a lot, and they had some issues like attendance. He definitely fessed up to that. But in the end, he said what put him over the edge was when he was told that he wasn't a good fit, with really no supporting evidence of that. He said that he was told that, you know, an administrator had conducted some secret observations in his school and found that he wasn't running a tight ship, you know, that he told to lawmakers and other people in the community as well. So he just felt an overall lack of support, and he went to Baltimore County.
Dr. Griot, do you have any idea in what way he was not a good fit?
So I can't discuss individual personnel matters, but what I can say is the Gilmore community was fully engaged in this process for the new principal and chose Curtis Durham because he has the energy, he has the skill set, he has the vision to lead a unique school such as Gilmore. And he's just very excited to get started. And so we feel very confident that he'll do an excellent job as principal.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Dr. Lisa Griot, who's responsible for recruiting and keeping qualified teachers and staff at Baltimore's public schools, and with Erica Green, education reporter at the Baltimore Sun. Baltimore City school salaries are some of the highest in the state. Dr. Griot, how do you find teachers who are not just attracted to the pay scale, but who actually want to do the hard work of teaching in city schools?
The teacher candidates that come to city schools rarely list salary as a factor for wanting to come to our city and teach our students. Really, they are candidates who have a strong commitment to give back to a community that needs them. They have an understanding of the cultural needs of our students. They have strong content knowledge. And so when we ask them, well, why did you choose city schools? Salary never really comes into play. It's always about just them wanting to, having a passion for urban education and realizing that they can then show that passion, realize that passion by coming to this school district.
With the violence that students have faced in their communities over the summer, what are some of the challenges schools and teachers will face this coming year, Erica?
You know, I haven't reported much on that, but I have had, you know, numerous conversations with teachers and school leaders that I'm in communication with. And frankly, they are just, you know, coming back with the same resilience that they try to have, you know, the entire year in the city. They deal with violence all the time. We did have quite a lot of students lost on the streets of Baltimore this past year. For some of our school leaders and teachers, that's not new to them. So, you know, given that we had this momentous event, I have found that teachers and principals are really rallying around their students more than ever and really just trying to really promote the youth. I've been getting a lot more pitches for stories about students doing positive things, always against the backdrop of the ones that we've lost and the ones who were thrust into a negative light. And so I would expect that, you know, and I hope and I look forward to hearing more from students and teachers and principals really pushing the ones who are doing the right thing and who are still with us out there for the world to see.
Dr. Griot, will there be extra programming and support for teachers working with kids who are dealing with trauma from the summer?
We're really committed to supporting our teachers. We're starting a new office. It's the Office of Organizational Development. And the goal of that office is to support all of our employees. Our emphasis this year will be on our new teachers, making sure that they have the cultural knowledge, the skill sets, they know themselves, they know their students, they know their content. And so our induction period for our new teachers is 3 years. And so during the course of those 3 years, our goal is to really give teachers the tools that they need to be successful. And that also is a retention strategy for us as a district. I think that Erica's word, the focus on resilience, is, I agree with that wholeheartedly, that that's what we find is that we do have a community here that is quite resilient. And so we just want to make sure that we are supporting, encouraging, and pouring into our teachers as much as possible.
Erica, the first day students are in the classroom is August 31st,
yes.
How important is that first day in setting a tone?
You know, in the past, I've found that it is so important. As a reporter, I get excited for the first day of school every year. You know, usually the school system has a theme for the year, and so people are very much focused on that. I'm not sure what the theme is this year yet. But the first day from the grass being manicured, to a principal being in place and a teacher being in front of a classroom is incredibly important. I mean, it's been a priority for the district for years, at least since I've been on the beat for 5 years. You know, the superintendent chooses schools to go to that usually highlight some kind of theme for the year. So it's incredibly, incredibly important. And, you know, how the year starts and how the year ends is a big deal in the city.
Dr. Greer, what is the plan to fill the eight vacancies of principals that remain?
So we are actively engaged in processes, community-based processes, for our remaining principal vacancies, excuse me. Some of those vacancies opened in July. Actually, the majority of them did. And so because the community engagement process can take some time, we wanted to make sure that we were always honoring that process. But what we have committed to as a district is to make sure that we have a principal at the head of every school on day one when students return. And so we will be moving, appointing principals over the next few weeks and making sure that they have what they need to be successful. So our goal is to have a principal in every position in every school by day one.
Thank you both for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Erica Green, education reporter at the Baltimore Sun, and Dr. Lisa Grio, chief of human capital at Baltimore City Public Schools. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, comic Hurry Kondabalu. Stay with us on 88.1.